is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Reuters, a dual date, Moscow and Seoul. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Russian President Vladimir Putin met for a rare summit at which they discussed military matters, the war in Ukraine, and possible Russian help for the North Korean satellite program. Gordon Chang, at Gordon Chi Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome David Maxwell, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to interpret these events. The expectation was that the two leaders were going to meet in Russia, perhaps Vladivostok, the large city on the Pacific. Instead, the North Korean leaders train, an armored, we're told, bulletproof train carrying many military leaders, proceeded to Vostochny, the half-built rocket base, Mars base, moon base, future base of Roscosmos. David, a very good evening to you. Vostochny staging is significant, but I don't know why or how. What does it mean for North Korea? What does it mean for China that they're meeting at a half-built base? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yeah, we can speculate. I guess maybe that was maybe the closest base that Kim Jong-un could go to. Obviously, on the agenda is satellite support for the two failed North Korean satellite launches this year. And so maybe they went there for a photo op. But it doesn't seem very effective to go to a half-built base to try to get support for a failed satellite program. But this is Russia and North Korea, so we really they keep us guessing.
Gordon, you have a question for David.
Dave, I can think of two reasons. One of them is that it's more secure. We know the Kim family is very concerned about assassination, and so therefore they went to some place that could really be protected. Second thing is I thought this was in your face to the United States, basically that any satellite launch by North Korea is a violation of UN sanctions. And so what they were saying is, we don't really care about you anymore. So we're just going to show you that we're going to violate sanctions, and we know you're not going to do anything about it. Your comments?
Yeah, I think that's a good interpretation, although I think they have had it in our face for quite some time, and they've disregarded sanctions, and China and Russia have been complicit in helping North Korea evade sanctions. So I think your point is well taken, but I also think it's nothing new. In terms of security, I think that is a good point. But what I really am interested in when we talk about security is how many senior political and military leaders he took with them. You wonder what's happening in Pyongyang when he's gone. That's always been in the past, while he never made it public while he was gone, until after he left for security reasons. But now, people, the world knows where he is, and they've been broadcasting it. And so he either feels very secure back in Pyongyang, or he's taken the senior political and military leadership with him so that they could not get into mischief while he's gone as well. So a lot of things to consider there about his security. But of course, you're right. His physical security is always number one priority.
In the origin story of the Kim dynasty is his grandfather, who fought with the Russians. Is the affection for Russia dominant in North Korea to this day, decades later?
Not really. There's the only affection is for Kim Il-sung and the Kim family regime. They are very xenophobic. They don't like the Chinese. I don't think they really like the Russians either. But it is a marriage of convenience. I mean, that's why I call the relationship between China, Russia, and North Korea the threesome of convenience. So I don't think there's great love for Russia, but Kim Jong-un is going to exploit the relationship for his benefit, the benefit of his military and his regime.
Gordon, you have a question.
U.S. officials, Dave, before this, warned Kim Jong-un not to supply lethal aid to Russia for use in Ukraine. Do you think that they would actually be bold enough to do that? And if so, what do you think the North Koreans would be selling the Russians?
I think definitely 122 millimeter and 152 millimeter artillery ammunition. I've heard a million rounds as a number thrown out there. But, you know, definitely Putin's war in Ukraine is an artillery war, and Russia needs artillery ammunition. So I think that's the most likely ammunition. But I've also heard anti-tank and, you know, other small arms. North Korean factories are able to produce the ammunition and weapons. I heard a statement from one of the Russian officials where he said they're going to cooperate on construction. That could mean Russian support to improving some of the North Korean industrial base to even perhaps give them more capacity to produce for Russia. But I think those are the things that Russia is going to get and they need from North Korea.
David, is North Korea stronger today than it was before this meeting? Does this enhance North Korea to an extent that we didn't anticipate?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, when you look at things in total, again, Kim Jong-un's strategy continues to fail. The economy has failed. He is unable to get sanctions relief. He's unable to split the ROK-US alliance. And I think that's what you must really compare their strength to. You know, they are weakening because they don't have the economic base to sustain the regime and the military. Russia will help, but we see the strength of the ROK-US alliance, the U.S.-Japan alliance, and now trilateral cooperation of JROKIS, Japan, ROK, and U.S. And comparatively, the allies keep getting stronger. The axis of authoritarians really keep getting weaker, even as they try to collaborate and cooperate to try to strengthen their position. In the end, they are weak, and they're dangerous. They possess nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, biological weapons, and a 1.2 million man army. But compared to the alliances, they continue to weaken.
Gordon, just quickly, does Xi bless this meeting at Vostochny? Is that good for Xi?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is yes. And although the Chinese are jealous of Pyongyang's relations with Moscow, they really want to see Moscow win this war. And if North Korea can help with all that ammunition that Dave talked about, then I'm sure that Xi Jinping is fully on board with this meeting.
We have about a minute, Gordon, for David.
So, David, just to carry forward on that, what are your thoughts about the China-Russia-North Korea triangle? What do you think the Chinese are thinking?
Yeah, I think that North Korea may be a convenient cutout, that they can provide that support to Russia while China can, you know, keep its hands at some distance and not appear to be supporting Russia. And so they can maintain some semblance of legitimacy in their own assessment among the international community by not providing that direct support. But really, I think what we have to look at as the three countries cooperate is the fact that there is no trust between them. And this is the real weakness for the axis of authoritarians. They act in their own interests. They don't trust each other. And it's in Kim Jong-un's DNA to play Xi and Putin off against each other, just as Kim Il-sung played Mao and Stalin off against each other. And that's what makes this trilateral axis of authoritarians, the threesome of convenience, weaker than the Japan-ROK-US security arrangement.
David Maxwell, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Gordon Chang, I'm John Maxwell.